There's a guy that we see on WGN-TV and CLTV, and he is a political analyst, and he is a friend of ours, and he's Paul Liznick. How are you, Paul?
I'm great, and it's always good to be with you guys. Good morning.
Thanks, Paul. Are you anticipating low turnout tonight?
Well, I am. You know, I went and voted myself this morning, and it was me and the election judges in the room, which is nothing but an anecdotal comment. But, you know, listen, it was Toni Preckwinkle herself during one of the debates who anticipated a low turnout. It's really astounding, maybe because we all are interested in politics and follow it so much. It's just hard to believe why somebody wouldn't take the 5 minutes it takes to just run over and cast your vote.
If it is a low turnout, Paul, does that benefit Toni Preckwinkle more than it does Lori Lightfoot?
Well, I think it does, because Preckwinkle is the organization, right? I don't use the word machine anymore, but she certainly is the Democratic organization, with the Democratic Party behind her, Cook County, with all the traditional folks, Jesse White and Danny Davis, and all these folks who are behind her, and Bobby Rush. And so on election days, the people that, you know, get out to those polls typically are those, you know, loyal, stalwart Democrats will make their way, certainly those who are you know, part of the unions and all of that. But, you know, listen, it's also a new day in this city. Nobody would have ever guessed that Lori Lightfoot, who's never held office before, you know, would basically represent a mood of change, a mood of we're done with the way things were. So if her voters wake up and get to the polls, then we're liable to see a decisive victory in her favor, which is what the polls say. But that being said, you can never count out the traditional candidate, which to me is Preckwinkle.
Okay, and I know that a lot of people put off voting in the original election because there were too many people to choose from. I heard a lot of people say that, oh, I'll wait and see what happens, and then I'll vote in the runoff. So would you expect the runoff voting to be higher than what we had in the original election a few weeks ago?
Well, Wendy, I do agree with the people's view. Oh, I've got 14 candidates. What am I going to do? I'll just take it down to the final two. It's a good argument. I just think that there's, you know, it is a beautiful day out there today, I got to tell you, so we're not dealing with snow and rain or anything else to keep people away from the polls. But if I were going to guess, I imagine tonight when we're on WGN talking about this, I think we're going to see a relatively low turnout consistent with what we saw in February.
So
it may not be record lows.
Paul, it's Bertrand. And so, right, we were making kind of excuses for the low turnout in the February voting. Here we are in the general, if you will, or the runoff vote. If the numbers aren't any bigger, it just kind of shows that the voters don't care that much.
Steve, that might be it. I mean, it literally might be that people, or they think their vote doesn't matter. I don't know that you can say people don't care. They care about who runs their city. But, you know, I mean, look, you have a lot of young people who get motivated by certain candidates, in this case, Lori Lightfoot, but it's just not enough for them to take the time out of their day to go do it. You know, maybe one day when we can vote online, and I'm serious about that, when we just find ways for people to vote on their phones and do other things, we'll see voting rates go up. I just think we're in an environment where a lot of people just don't feel it and don't want to take the time. It's unfortunate.
Paul, how will things be different if Lori Lightfoot wins, and how will things be different if Toni Preckwinkle wins from what we're accustomed to?
I think under a Lightfoot administration, first of all, you've had Lori say very strongly that she wants to put a stake through aldermanic prerogative. But she can't do that without the permission of the aldermen. I don't know many aldermen, except maybe some new ones who might make their way on, who would agree with giving up that power to make zoning decisions and signage decisions and licensing decisions. So the question for me under a Lightfoot administration is, does she come in, try to make the kind of change she talked about, realize that it ain't happening with a city council that's not going to be open to it, and do we return to what was the original design of the city, but we haven't had that way in decades and decades, which is a strong city council and a weak mayor? That's the design. But ever since the days of Richard Daley, with some few exceptions in between, certainly Richard M. Daley and Mayor Rahm Emanuel, you know, we've seen strong mayors who have a tight grip on their city council. I think that would change under Lightfoot. Under Preckwinkle, I think she would come in and command a power base fairly quickly. Like her predecessors in that role, I think we would see a very strong mayor.
Are people still thinking about that stupid soda tax that came up? Because that, to me, was irritating, and a lot of people were against Toni Preckwinkle for that. Is that a factor at all?
You know, there are people who I think that's in their mind, although, look, I've interviewed Toni many, many times, and we've talked about it, and I just, you know, in fairness to her, what she said was she didn't want to do the soda tax. That wasn't what she was after, but revenue was needed. She had not one vote, she would tell you, among her commissioners for any other kind of increase. The only thing that would squeak through was the soda tax, so that's why she did it. She also realizes, after a period of months when it was a total disaster, that it got repealed. So, you know, and of course, the result of that was she had to, a lot of people lost their jobs, budget cuts were made, and, you know, she said, that's what I said was going to have to happen. I mean, the one plus for a Preckwinkle today, who I think is really in a very, very tough fight, is she has submitted balanced budgets, sometimes at great cost to jobs and other things, for the last 9 years as she's been chair of the Cook County Board. The other thing is, if Lightfoot wins, then Toni Preckwinkle continues as the chair of the Cook County Board, and then our hope is that they will work together. You know, one of the things Preckwinkle did, and we hit her with this really in the last debate, there is a door that separates the city and county sides of City Hall. And she and Rahm, of course, were no fast friends, although they did some work together and tried some things. But she had that door ordered closed. To me, a symbolic move to basically just say, this city, this county, we're not working together. She doesn't go there when you talk to her about it, but they have pledged to work together no matter who wins. Wednesday morning, they're going to have a breakfast, prayer breakfast, with Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. We'll see.
To my knowledge, Paul, Mayor Emanuel hasn't endorsed either of these women to be the mayor. What's behind that?
I don't think the mayor is a fan of either one of these folks, to be honest with you. We know that Lori Lightfoot said she wasn't going to run against him, and then she did. Toni Preckwinkle, I've just talked about the fact that they've always had not the best relationship. Again, not that they couldn't work together when they had to, but it wasn't a great relationship. So, you know, I think Mayor Emanuel probably sees himself as, look, I'm out. Good luck to the next mayor. Neither one of these women is you know, who was my choice for this. Who would have been his choice? I don't know. I think he would have been satisfied maybe with a Bill Daley, although I think there's some, you know, if you think about it, Rahm really did inherit a financial mess from Richard M. Daley, but to his credit, I don't ever remember him basically putting the blame on Richard Daley. I never remember him saying, Daley handed me this mess or whatever. He took the bulls by the horn of the problem he had to deal with, and he forged ahead, much to the chagrin of some people, as we saw a lot of new taxes.
Paul, on a much lighter note, there's a television show that's on with Lisa Welchel from The Facts of Life, and I saw a preview for it, and I could swear you're a guest on that show.
What I am actually the first episode.
Are you?
It's called Collector's Call, and you know, I do a lot of I have a lot of presidential stuff and Broadway stuff and theater memorabilia,
yeah.
And so yeah, Collector's, it's a new. I was actually the 11th episode they filmed, but for whatever reason, they seem to enjoy it so much that mine is the premiere episode.
Wow.
My goofy brother is my guest in the show.
is he credited as that, my goofy brother?
Well, I don't know what they're going to call him, but I'm sure they had to do a lot of editing with by the time he was done. He was like a Me Too movement waiting to happen. But it was great fun to do. We'll show off some of the things in my collection. They really do make you an offer at the end. So the reaction you'll see from me is real, because I did not know what they were going to offer me for one of my collectibles, and I really had to mull it over and decide what to do. It's kind of like a Bravo feel to this show.
When can we see this?
And where?
It premieres Sunday night. I'll be going to a launch party during the day, but it premieres Sunday night, I think at 9 o'clock, on MeTV. So, you know, it's kind of fun for me to sort of hit, like, last Friday, I hosted the Adopt-A-Pet segment on the Midday News. I kind of like people getting
that.
To see a different side of me rather than just, you know, yes, there is the political side. I know that's what my job is. That's what I do. But, you know, there are some other passions in life that we enjoy.
That's why your podcast Behind the Curtain is so enjoyable.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate that. And that today, in fact, I'm going to have Taylor Williamson on the podcast from America's Got Talent. Remember him?
Yeah.
A few years ago, he came in second, the cast of some local shows. And by the way, in that Adopt-A-Pet segment, Wendy, I worked your sister's name into it.
I know. My sister and Paul worked together many years ago. And
your sister, Paul's brother? This is weird.
It's a whole family affair.
Very strange. Paul, we'll be watching, and thanks for joining us today with your mayoral coverage. We really appreciate it.
Help me decide.
Prediction?
Tie your bow tie tonight. What do you want?
You got to go bow tie.
Bolo.
It's for you.
Bolo.
Yeah, go bolo.
I don't have a bolo. I don't have a bolo.
Thank God.
You have a shoelace. You have a shoelace.
If I get a chance to Texas, I might pick one up.
All right.
All right. Bow tie and your prediction.
Okay. Well, I mean, I hate doing that because I want people to vote.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
The polls are pretty clear about what's likely to happen. And by the way, there's two races. There's a treasurer's race as well. People have to decide between Amaya Pawar and Melissa Conyers Irvin. So, you know, there is that treasurer's race to vote for, too. Right now, Irvin seems to be holding on, but you can't count out Amaya Pawar at all.
All right, Paul, we appreciate it.
Thank
you,
guys.
Have a great rest of the week. Paul Lisnick, everybody.
I love
him. From Politics Tonight. He's a nice guy. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news and then a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.